For the fans, by the fans, this is the Non-League Football Show, and I'm Tim Fuel, back with another weekly look at the world of non-league football. The non-league beat the Freeze this weekend. We hope so. It's the last 64, round three of the FA Trophy, where the National League sides coming into play. One of the best things about this role is the people you get to meet, the share, the love, the beautiful game at non-league level. You create lifelong friendships, and this week's show is a prime example. As we showcase the FA Trophy, we speak to two old friends of the show who in their own ways have been lighting the beacon of the true non-league spirit once again this season. First up, Bath City's manager Jerry Gill preparing for the visit of current FA Trophy holders Bromley FC this weekend, if the weather allows, after a tumultuous few weeks dealing as a club and individuals with the injury suffered in action by Alex Fletcher. One of the toughest spells in his time as a manager, but you sense one of the most endearing too. Also joining us back on the show at Peterborough Sports is Jimmy Dean, manager there battling a chest infection, preparing his side for a trip in the trophy to Oldham Athletic this week. That's just seven seasons since he first joined Sports and began their rise from Step 6. It's a story that even Hollywood scriptwriters might not believe, but as real and honest as ever, he's the sporting hero surely every Tinseltown actor would love and be willing to play. Rounding it all up from the non-league paper is Matt Backup with an inevitable mix of managerial changes, or weather hit fixtures, and some Christmas present ideas too. Much to come. Sit back, relax, and let's get matters underway. So it is the FA Trophy third round, and clubs up and down the country are battling hard against the weather to get the last 32 ties played this weekend. Let's have a chat then with one down in the southwest of the country. It's a warm welcome back to the Non-League Football Show. Manager at Bath City, Mr. Jerry Gill. Welcome back, Jerry.
Hi, Tim. Thanks for having me on.
Well, it's always a pleasure to get you on. The FA Trophy last 64. You host the current holders. With all the bustle of Christmas, is it nice to get a big game like this to align your focus?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. No, really great for us. We're very looking forward to it. Like you say, it's been a bit indifferent, even down to, I couldn't go and watch Bromley on Wednesday. Their game against Torquay obviously went off with a view to the trophy game. That was one I had penciled in. I thought, well, that'd be ideal. Ideal opportunity for me to go and catch eyes live on them, as you know, better than watching it on any Y Scout or Huddle. But we've had them watched, obviously, holders, National League team, and some very strong players, and their players have been around the block, know the level, and for us to challenge ourselves, really. I mean, listen, we where we are in our position in the league is, you know, up until the point which obviously a lot of people talk about with Alex, we were in a very strong position, fifth in the league. Both those boys, him and Cody, scoring. With those out of the team, it obviously has an effect on us. But we're in a pretty good place. We had a lovely result down at Dartford last week. We were one of the few games that did go on in our league. Well played to Dowse and the Dartford lads there for getting that one on, and we were the better side. So yeah, we're in a positive frame of mind. It's still, I'm not going to lie to you, it's still been difficult. We're still having to work through our weeks, each individual's having to work through it, but we're sort of getting there as a group, and looking forward to football. That's what we're looking forward to.
Yeah, as we say, many clubs working hard and struggling to get these games on this week with the weather. But as you referred to there, you know more than most, struggles in football come in many different ways, and sometimes the match just falls into insignificance. A few weeks ago, you had that horrific situation with Alex Fletcher, injured early on in the game. How is Alex, and how are the rest of those that are all affected by it as well?
Yeah, that's a good point, Tim. It really is a good point. I mean, first and foremost, obviously, is Alex our attention, and everyone else's thoughts are with Alex. But I'm reluctant to say he's okay, because it's not Alex at the moment as we know him. And that's, you know, I don't need to say any more than that, really. He's gone through a horrific incident. He's had to have a major operation on his brain, and he's recuperating and recovering. Rehabilitation will take a very long time. He's got a long road ahead of him. If anyone's going to get there in a shorter space of time, then it'd be Alex Fletcher, rest assured in that. He's one of the fittest lads I've ever worked with. He's one of the most positive guys I've ever met in football as well. I'm not just saying that because it is what has happened to him. He really is. And it's one day at a time, really, Tim. I know he's going to have days where he's frustrated because he's probably not where he wants to be. He's got lots of little mini hurdles to get over, but he's set himself targets. I think one of them is he wants to try and get to Twerton Park on Boxing Day and walk on the pitch. It would be marvellous if we get to see him to do that. And I know everyone would love to see him there. He may not make that, but that's a little target he's got. So that's first and foremost. Everyone else around the ground, my energy has been, you know, I just engrossed myself in it. My energy has been around looking after the players and staff. It's not just the players, a lot of people at the football club, ensuring everyone's all right. The only way I could deal with it was to do that as well. I'm not going to lie to you. That evening when I got home, I was not in a good place, like everyone else wouldn't have been. And we needed to deal with it in our own little ways, but we've looked after ourselves. There's no manual, no coaching manual, no directive here to deal with these sort of things. And football did really take a back seat, but Alex wants us to. The football club, we've got a duty of care to the football club. We have to get back on, and there's nothing more than an incentive. Winning games at the moment and pulling together, all that team spirit stuff, has been really good. So yeah, we're dealing with it as we can, and I'm really looking forward to the second part of the season. We've not even got to the sort of 23 game mark yet, so we're really looking forward to the next part of the second part of the season.
Yeah, I mean, it is a shame that sometimes it takes something as serious as this to realise. But I think the magic of non-league was clear and evident with the outpouring of support for Alex and his family and everybody else at the club from the whole of football, but particularly the non-league world. I mean, that must have been support to those that were affected, I guess.
Yeah, and listen, you know me, I'm a non-league man through and through. My career was non-league into the professional game and back out now into non-league. And no one will speak higher of non-league than myself. It was part of my development to get myself in the professional game. And I realised at a young age it was my way. And I knew there was a lot of good people that helped me along the way. Now, looking at it as a manager and as a coach, it hasn't changed. In fact, it only gets stronger. We really do look after each other. I think I've probably had a call off of every football club in non-league, if not any, all of them. Every coach, every manager, players have been getting in touch. And then, of course, we've had it right at the other echelon to the England manager sending me a video of him in Qatar speaking about Alex and wishing him all the best as well. So, listen, this goes a massive way and a long way to helping us as a club and the support we're getting from everyone and for Alex himself as well. And I know it's helping him drive himself on. So, yeah, I can't speak highly of the non-league. It's been my life. It'll always be my life. And it's come together in real strength through this time. And it will continue to do that through other people's hardships, you know, through the game. We know that's going to happen. And we all support each other. And it's really refreshing and lovely to see, actually.
Yeah, and nice. That team bond as well, already created in the dressing room and everybody just rallying around. It's the sort of thing that you don't necessarily hear reflected at the higher echelons of the game. So it's nice to hear that they are sort of at least in contact with you. You spoke about that game over at Dartford at the weekend. Yeah, one of the few that beat the weather. You mentioned that you may be the better side. A 0-0 draw at Dartford, but I hear their goalkeeper was man of the match. So that must then give you positivity going into, you know, that's against a side up challenging to get out of the National South this year. When you're coming up against an international league side this weekend, that must be, you must be itching to get the game on, really, I guess, this weekend.
Yeah, we can't wait. I really do. I want it. I mean, I'm not saying that we're at home and we're generally strong at Twerton. In fact, we haven't probably a format that's been as good as what it normally does at Twerton. But we're looking forward to it. Hopefully, we'll get a big crowd in there as well. Dartford, Dice's team, as you know, knows the level inside out. Got a lot of experienced players there. Very good squad. I've in my 5 years at Bath, I don't think I've got a point. So that's my first point over there. So I'm buzzing at that. But we had, you know, I am one for data and stats, but I don't go over the top on it. But we had 15 shots compared to their four. And like you say, their goalkeeper got man of the match. So that pretty much tells the story of the game. And it was a real confident display from us. Everyone's talking about it, of course. You haven't got Cody Cook. Cody Cook's been out for now 6 weeks with this possible hernia problem. We will get to the bottom of that this week. And obviously missing Alex Fletcher, and that's 21 goals in our team that's missing already. And that potentially could be 40 for the season. So that's a lot to miss. And we're not got the luxury of getting four of those players. In fact, it's a bit of a compliment when people are saying, well, the Bath City are relying on those two. Well, of course they are, because there are two strikers. So, but we'll take confidence from it. We really will. The performance levels were very, very good. We, like I said, before that incident with Alex, we're in a very good place in the league. We've got games in hand on teams. But the FA Trophy is a refreshing one. I want to have a real good run in it. And it's nice to go into a game. I know very often where we're the underdogs. So we'll be the underdogs going into it, but we're at home. And whether this Saturday or whether it be Tuesday, if the game goes off, they'll find it a tough place to come, and we'll give it everything we've got to try and progress through.
Yeah, how much of an extra bonus is that home advantage when you're playing a side that are from the level above of you?
Yeah, I think so. I think so. And I think, obviously, our fans have grabbed it because it's against the holders. And, yeah, Twerton Park, so you've been there enough, Tim, yourself, and you know what it's all about. So it's got the slope. It's a traditional old stadium. It can be a really good atmosphere on any given day. We're averaging sort of 1,100, 1,200, whereas when I first went in, it's 500. Mm. So we've really got that going there. And, yeah, we have a right good go, whether we're up the slope first half and then having a right go down the slope in the second half, drawing that ball in that net, as you've seen there before. So some of their players wouldn't have seen that. And yeah, hopefully it will be an advantage on the day. And like I say, it's got to be a result on the day as well. So that's something for us to just have a go at. Why not? Let's be on the front foot. Let's have a right good go at it.
And it's you're reaching to get the game played, but there's probably a little thing in the back of your head going, well, maybe actually if they've got to travel to us on a Tuesday night to play this game, that might be a bit more difficult for them.
Yeah, of course. That one, I've already said that to my chairman today. So that was one, because I was hoping they were going to go to Torquay on the Wednesday as well, travel down to Torquay, and then I would travel back and then come down to Bath again this weekend. Obviously, that Torquay game didn't go on. But yeah, whatever that may be, if it comes on a Tuesday, we all know travelling on a midweek to a non-league game is not easy. But yeah, Andy will have them ready. You know, I'm under no illusions. They won't be well prepared. This is a very good side, a team that's, in fact, if you look at us and them, we're very similar in our league position and points, similar in games won and lost. So even though there's a difference in the league, and obviously there will be a difference in level, we feel as if we're in a good place to have a right good go at them. So that's all we'll do. As long as we can go out there and have a right good go, give our fans something to really get behind on the evening or on the afternoon, and hopefully we'll be the ones that go through.
Yeah, and off the field, we've spoken before about the disappointment, the planning application rejection, which I think was March 2020 for Twerton Park, which was, you know, since then we've had COVID, there's been various changes, planning criteria, and I know many, many meetings and much work behind the scenes, because there's the similar sort of discussions that I'm involved in with my club. But there are some suggestions that it's a new announcement maybe on the horizon early in the new year. How important is it that you're doing well on the field when that sort of announcement comes out?
No, absolutely. Yes. As you know, Tim, we spoke a lot over the last 5 years since I've been at tenure, and it has been 5 years now. And it's in a funny sort of way, it's gone so quick because of those COVID times. Someone said to me the other day, bloody hell, in your 5 years, what you've had to deal with is remarkable, really. Just the Alex situation, COVID. But yeah, that's what it is. We've finished in the playoffs twice. And we feel as if that was a success when we first went in. We had a really tough year last year. I'm not going to hide away from that. I got a few bits of my recruitment wrong. But we showed that real grit and that spirit at the end to pull through. And we went on sort of playoff form in the end, last 8 games. And then I felt like I recruited well in the summer. So yeah, it's vitally important we're doing well. We need to be in and around the playoffs. Hopefully the news that will come out in the new year is really positive for us. And it means we're progressive still. That's all we're trying to do. We're trying to move the club along. I'm so desperate to bring some more success to the football club. I think it's a National League club. I really do. Are you looking at us now? We get 1,100, 1,200 in there in National League South. If we were to go up a level, I'm sure we'd hit the 2,000 mark. So that's what I'm looking to try and do. We want to try and entertain every time, but we've got to win games as well. So it's getting that balance right and ensuring all that good work off the pitch, which has been going on since I ever come into the football club. A lot of people doing some fantastic work there. It continues, and we push the club on and off the pitch, like you say, because together it makes a real powerful thing.
Yeah, off the pitch, yeah, again, another one of those clubs. Nice to see a number of clubs doing it. There's much going on to assist fans facing economic struggles, half-price season tickets, one of the number of ventures, trying to encourage up. You've got 14 home games left, trying to get people through the door. And then for fans as well that are able to put a bit more into the club, I think you've got the Pitching Christmas Appeal that sort of helps with all your community-based projects. Community and fan engagement, that's always been a big thing at Bath City, but particularly under your tenure. As a manager, how does that give you an extra sort of oomph in the dressing room, seeing all that going on around you?
Absolutely, yeah. I mean, match day experience is huge. When I first turned up, I've got to say the foundation as well. So there's the community programme and the foundation. The foundation at the football club goes from strength to strength as well. Some wonderful work going on there. Man v Fat, all that sort of stuff going on out in the community. And it's really refreshing. We've got a new women's team, as you know, so that's been kicked off now at the football club. I'm seeing more and more young people come in to support us. We've got flag bearers. So people who are out working in the foundation, invite them in the community along to be ball boys, ball girls, flag bearers. Lovely to see people there on a match day in and around it. We have volunteers, as you know, down from Bath University. We've got such a strong link with them as well. So my sports scientist started up at Bath Uni, so he's now down with me working full-time, or say part-time with us on a Tuesday, Thursday, Saturday. So it's massively important. We have to be out there in the community, and it's proof's in the pudding. You know, if you're out there and you're active, then the gates will go up. And if you're putting on the right product on a match day, then that's only going to improve the club as well. So, yeah, like I said, it's not just the work I've been doing since I've gone in there. It's all about what we can do as a club out in the community through the foundation community programme that improves the club. And, yeah, it just goes from strength to strength.
And as you say, you've been there 5 years. You've probably had some of the toughest couple of months going with everything else going on. But you still sound like you're enjoying it as ever.
I love it. I love it. My enthusiasm, Tim, will never go for the game. And it's a club, people seem to forget this. I played over 200 games for Bath City Football Club. So I think it's coming up to now over 10 years of my life has been spent at Bath City Football Club. So it's not just as a manager. It's about that time when I was a player. And a lot of your listeners now won't remember it.
Or won't do, we can never get past you.
Yeah, exactly, mate. Well, and I went on then to have a nice career, but the foundation was built at Bath City Football Club. And I go back to the days when we were only getting 200, 300 in there. So, yeah, it's got a special place in my heart. And that's why I'm so desperate to bring some success to the football club. I really am. If I wake up and I feel like I don't want to go in, Tim, that'll be the day. And we got training tonight. I'm sat here now thinking about it. I've planned the training session. It's going to be -5 at the training facility. But no one's looking forward to it more than me tonight to get out there and put on a bit of shape and a little bit of work for the boys with a view to Bromley, hoping that the game's going to go on Saturday. If it doesn't, I've got a plan in place for Saturday. The boys will be in training. We'll do another session and then we'll look forward to Tuesday. So, yeah, I love it, mate. It's part of my life and it's a big part of my life. So, yeah, that will continue. If it doesn't, then I'll call it a day.
Well, we hope that's going to be a long way away because we love getting you on the Non-League Football Show. Jerry Gill, always a pleasure to get you on the show. Best of luck.
Brilliant.
At the weekend or next week, whenever it goes, and certainly for the rest of the season. We'll speak to you again soon.
Top man, Tim. Thanks for being on. Cheers, mate.
So let's stay with the FA Trophy then. Another old friend of the show. In 2015-16 season, he took on the gaffer's job at his club, won a title, Step 6, United Counties League Division 1. 7 years later, several more promotions on. If the weather allows it, he takes on that very same club to Oldham Athletic in the FA Trophy third round on Saturday, where a victory would be another, feather in the cap? No doubt a chapter in the autobiography. To tell us how the preparations are going, let's give a warm welcome back to the Non-League Football Show. It's manager at Peterborough Sports, Mr. Jimmy Dean. Welcome back, Jimmy.
Cheers, Tim. Thanks for having us back, mate.
Well, it's always a pleasure. What a story to have brought the club from Step 6 to playing in the last 64 at founder members of the Premier League. Have you ever had time to reflect on that?
No, I mean, even more impressive, I think, mate. I know it's been 7 years, or this is the 8th year, but it's only been 5 seasons because obviously we lost the 2 to COVID, didn't we? So in them 5 seasons, you know, we're now, I think, 13, 14 places behind Oldham in the league pyramids, because I think they're down the bottom in their end, and we're 8th now. We've dropped a place after the games in midweek, so it's quite remarkable, and that's my take on the game, to be honest with you. Like, if they get it right, it's gonna be really difficult to get out. You know, if they're off it and we play to the best of our ability, then who knows? You know.
I get to talk to you. I've had the opportunity to talk to some of the other people in and around the club as well. Some of those people from your time when you first came in, both in and around the dressing room and behind the scenes, do they? I mean, how do they react to the fact of where you are now? And you as you say, you 12 places behind one of the founder members of the Premier League and playing them in a big FA competition.
I don't know, to be honest with you, Tim. Yeah, that's a good question. Sometimes, I don't put a negative spin on this answer, but sometimes I feel like because of the success we have, which is pretty unprecedented, I think, I can't think or know another side in non-league who's done it. And if they have, it's not been done a lot. I can say that. And I don't know. I just feel like sometimes it's all normal. It's all normal when it's not, mate. I mean, yeah, you know, this playing teams like Oldham, it should be the privilege of our sporting lives, really, you know. And you have to look at, I have to look at games like that and think, which I've done plenty of times in the past, you have to treat them like they can't get any better than this. Do you know what I mean? And I mean that, like, it's Oldham Athletic. You know, it's just, it's massive. But the thing is, you know, they keep do getting, we, you know, these days and occasionally they keep getting better and they keep improving. You know, but I do feel the club should be mindful that we are very lucky with the occasions and the success we keep having.
Yeah, I mean, if someone's keeping a scrapbook for you, you probably need one of these storage units to keep them all in now, don't you?
Yeah, or a bonfire, one of the two. I mean, my wife keeps a bit, but we ain't got loads of them. But like, you know, you just point to the, you know, to the fact. Like, it's been a fantastic journey, hasn't it? You know, even this year, we come up, thought we'd be fighting for our lives. To be honest with you, you know, whatever rhetoric we put out, that's where we was at. And we had a couple of bad results the last few weeks because we could have really cemented our playoff position. But you know, we're in and around challenging for the playoffs for eighth in the league, so. Yeah, even this year, like, it's going better than we ever thought it would. So long may it continue, you know. We just keep striving, keep working hard. Tonight, I'm going out. I've got a chest infection. I'm going out on this, mate, and I really don't fancy it. I really don't. But, you know, if I don't, no one else is going to do it, are they? So.
This is why I love getting to speak to people like yourself and finding out, you know, what it is really like being a manager. You've got... Yeah, this big game then on Saturday, an away game. So for all those people that I've mentioned off the field, not so much pressure on them, so they can maybe go and enjoy. But what about you as a manager in a game that's decided on the day when it gets played, whether that gets played this weekend or you've got to make that travel on Tuesday night? How much does conceding home advantage count?
Well, Tim, do you know what? I'll be honest with you. In terms of result, it's probably a lot. But I'm in football. When I took over this step six, I didn't think we'd be going into a match like Oldham with, you know, 13, 14 places between us and the league pyramid at Boundary Park. Like, I watched this ground on TV, Andy Ritchie, Ricky Olding, Joe Royal. Like, I watched these and I was 10 years old just getting into football. I know this club. I know that how big they were ex-Premier League. Like, for me, if you ask me whether I want to play them at Peterborough Sports or play them at Boundary Park, I'd say Boundary Park every time because, you know, it's a privilege, isn't it? And that's what we do it for. You wouldn't imagine we're going to win the FA Trophy, although Brackley did it a few years ago. You wouldn't imagine we're going to win it, but this would be something that no one ever take away from you, really, can they, mate? You know, Boundary Park, ex-Premier League ground, ex-Premier League club. It's just something to really look forward to. That's how I look at it.
Yeah, it is going to be an exciting game. Obviously, you know, weather permitting, it'll be Saturday. If not, a journey on Tuesday. And much travel for you. Yeah, you've come from the Southern League to find yourself now in the Northern allocated division. You're still operating as a part-time club. It's a division with many full-timers. How's that sort of burden sort of impacting on the whole of the club?
Mate, initially it was good. It was, you know, it was you're energised, don't you? Do you know what I mean? And we're getting to these winter months now, and to be honest with you, things are tight at the club. They're really tight. That's no one's fault. It's what you're talking about is gates down. Gates down across the board, across England, I think. You know, everyone's feeling the pinch. You know, the COVID COVID bounce has gone a little bit now. So the chairman's having to, you know, we're having to find solutions to raise money to pay players and coaches is something we've had to give away, you know, for the coach travel, which obviously makes it difficult, like it did Buxton, when you've got, I don't know, it's 10 cars going up, something like that, 8 cars going up to a game. Do you see what I mean?
Yeah.
You know, it's difficult, it's hard. Like, that's a big challenge at the minute. Like, we've always done that and it's always been fantastic. But now you're talking about, we did Scarborough on the Tuesday night as well, which is another nightmare. But now you're talking about 3, 4, you know, sometimes 5 hour drives. It's a real challenge. I mean, the one thing he does do for us, if it's a Saturday game and we have a 4 hour drive, 3.5, 4 hour drive, you know, he'll get us an hotel. So we drive to the hotel on the Friday. And to be fair to him, that's what he's done for Oldham. So if the game's on, we'll find out tomorrow lunchtime or just after lunchtime. We'll be driving up, staying in the hotel, because that's something that really works for us. That is, you know, you wake up, you're all together, you're all in the zone. It's all about football. You got no distractions at all. And I think that's as big an advantage as anything I do. Mm. These clubs who do that, they drive up on the coach together, and it happens a lot at the level, and they get in their hotel and they stay over. I think that's as big an advantage as anything. I mean, the Tuesday night problem we'll have, we'll have a coach for Tuesday because there's an FA competition and they pay off. But the problem we'll have with that is, you know, a lot of blood balls will be at work in the day and then they've got to travel.
And it's the week before Christmas, and whatever job you're in, it's not always easy to get a day off.
No, then they've got to travel to the game, and then they're playing a team that's full time. That's been thinking about them all day. Just had a pre-match meal together. And these are the challenges, Tim. You know, like, I'm certainly not complaining about them. Like I say, to me, it's a privilege, mate. Like, I enjoy it. It's not a privilege where I kiss everyone's ass and I'm in it, you know, just to be a passenger, because I think my record and what we're doing this year shows we're not like that. But I never forget how, you know, how lucky I am to be doing the job, to be honest.
Yeah. And as you say, the costs, hotels, coaches, you know, even for your league games, but for games like this, prize money have just... We're the last 64 of the senior non-league competition. Prize money, I think the winners get 4,500. That's probably swallowed up by your coach and your hotel. That probably doesn't even cover it. £1,250 for the losers. And, you know, I know that there's a share cost on the coach and things like that, but... As you say, sometimes it is just for the privilege to be playing in these games that you're there.
Yeah, I mean, look, they've pulled it a bit the last few years. The FA Cup as well. The FA Cup pays better, but they've pulled it a bit. You know, it depends what you're doing, doesn't it? If you're going for league titles, it's probably a bit of a distraction. Like, it was a big priority to us a few years ago because it gives us elite status when no one else is playing. And that's what we had the competition respect. He goes elite status, so we got to the last 16 and got beat by Oxford City. But if we hadn't have had that, we'd have been locked away. And as it stood, we was only playing once a month. But because we was playing, we was allowed to get out and train a couple of times a week. And it kept me sane, mate. It did a couple, you know. So it offered that. I mean, the payday really. I don't know what kind of gate we'll get, but they've been averaging 7,500. If they get 4,000 or 5,000. You know, the payday for us will be on the gate.
Yep.
You see what I'm saying?
Yep.
And that will make a difference to us right now. Every pound counts, I think. So that's what it's done for us. But, you know, you're talking about these draws. There's only this club in Notts County, really. Maybe Wrexham come into that. They were going to go and get 5,000, 6,000, 7,000 on the gate regularly, aren't they? Mm. And they're the ones, you know, we've been lucky enough to get one, but not only get them away. So yeah, look, it's a fantastic draw for us on all levels, really.
Yeah, I mean, you've never hidden your ambition, nor that your ambitions for the club either. I mean, it does seem. I know what's been done off the field to try and match your progress. Can the club continue its rise, or is there a need to be realistic about the size that you are competing alongside?
Tim, look, every year, I mean. Yeah, an insight into this, mate, like, you know, further fans are getting a bit pent up because, you know, like these old fans are, you know, like, is this a sport and social club, or, you know, pool tables, dartboards and all that, you know, because of the name. Like, they've never heard of us. And I just say that on the way up, on the way, there are a lot smaller clubs than these have looked down the nose at us. Do you know what I mean? At least all of them are coming from the Premier League. If I was their fans, I'd be taking the mickey a bit. So don't let that bother you. And moving on from that is that every time we've gone up, we've probably not in the UCL years, but when we got up to step four, we didn't think we'd make the next step. We got up to step three. Definitely, you know, we talked about relegation the first £2,500 a week. Talked about staying up, and we was, after 33 games, we was top. You know, the first COVID year. the club's always found a way to make progression. I think this season's massive progression, but I also feel this year, you know, like there's a massive, I feel it, you know, I feel like there's a brick wall. I feel like everything's a little bit harder. It's not to say we can't do it. I don't believe in that word at Peterborough Sports. But I, you know, I have noticed it this year. I've noticed what we're against. I've noticed their travel. I noticed, you know, the way they do it. I mean, they're full time. Mm. Do you know what I mean? Like some of them, some seven of them are ex football league clubs. You do feel, and it is a lot harder to compete now. A lot harder to compete. It's a lot harder. If we're, you know, if we're 100%, you know, we'll get a positive result. I think if we're off it a little bit, we get smashed, right? Mm. So, you know, there's not a lot of wiggle room. There's not a lot of room to manoeuvre. But we just have to take it game by game, mate. We could lose every game from here on in and get right again. We could make the playoffs. Who knows?
One thing I know that you'll always give is 100%. I would say more, but that just winds me up when people say more than 100%.
Yeah, I get that.
But Christmas nearly upon us. You said, like, you're full up with a chest infection now. It's Thursday evening. It's freezing cold outside. You're going to go and try and watch a game. Go try and, you know, still do your job. Christmas nearly upon us. What's the Christmas period look like for a manager in National North? You know, a part-time outfit, training, games, attempting to try and fit some family time in. Are you going to get, you know,
yeah, mate, look, it's what people want from it, isn't it, really? You know, I think a lot of the success, I mean, a step forward was in a title race. We had a game on the Monday. I don't know. We had a game on the Boxing Day, and I got them in Christmas Eve morning to train, you know, an early one. And I'm going to do it again this year. I've got to break it to the players tonight, to be honest with you. But I expect them to be in Christmas Eve morning for a quick sharp hour, and then they can have Christmas with their families, and we play Boxing Day. That's life, mate. You know, if you want to be the best, you got to act like the best, and it probably still won't happen. But that's how we take it as serious as we can. And the good thing that I have got with these boys is they buy into it. They moan, you know, like they would, like anyone would, but they moan. Finding time, it's difficult. It's difficult, especially when you've got four kids under 10 or 10 and under, because he was 10 the other day. It is difficult. It's finding balance in life, like everything, but you got to do it. And one thing I'm going to tell the boys, if I did it at step four, I'm definitely going to be doing it at step two. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Well, Jimmy, it's always a pleasure to get you on. It's always a pleasure to find someone else that I don't think could ever be bored. And I don't think we could ever be bored listening to you either. Best of luck.
Liar.
Oh, no. I'm not sure I've got time to ever sort of actually meet up properly socially with you. I don't think I'd survive. But I wish you luck in the FA Trophy and for the rest of the season. We will stay in contact and we'll speak to you again soon. But thanks for joining us on the Non-League Football Show.
Jim, you're an absolute gentleman. Thanks for having us, mate.
So time once again to head on over to Non-League Paper Towns. Welcome back to the Non-League Football Show. It's the editor-at-large at the Non-League Paper, Mr. Matt Badcock. Welcome back, Matt.
Hi, Tim. How are you?
Good. And a fairly quiet week in the world of Non-League. The big three's playing havoc with the fixture calendar, but it was always reliable, always adaptable. The Non-League Paper stepping up with the goods on Sunday, warming us up on Sunday morning. Hopefully this weekend, maybe a slight change in the weather or coming time for the weekend, especially with the last 64 of the FA Trophy and some big ties ahead.
Yeah, hopefully the weather does allow a few more games of football to be played this weekend. Sort of like look out my window now. I'm in Suffolk and we had a lot of snow, so and it's still here and the sun's been on it all day since Monday and it still hasn't even gone down hardly an inch. So it could be another mishmash of a calendar, and obviously, you know, most clubs won't want the they want to be making sure they get their trophy games on if at all possible, because obviously otherwise you're going into midweek replays, and I guess the preference is definitely going to be to get them played this weekend. So hopefully the weather kind of does us a bit of a favour, but lots of interesting ties, and obviously as you say, the National League clubs come in now, and The Step 1 clubs are in and it's throwing up some interesting games. You know, you've got Uxbridge at Step 4, had a great run there at Dagenham, and I think Chesterfield are at home to Colville, and Colville sort of going for a bit of a double, having not Scouting out of the FA Cup. And if they could knock Chesterfield out of the trophy as well, that'd be some cup double they'd done this season. So it's going to be a fascinating weekend, and obviously we've got Heybridge Swifts at Step 4 there at home to Hungerford Town. They beat Heybridge Swifts, managed by Steve Tilson. They beat Hereford in the last round, so they'll probably quietly fancy their chances of pulling off another upset against a Step 2 side.
And as you say, you know, if these games aren't played on Saturday, and I think I must be in the only part of the world that hasn't had snow. I was on a Zoom call yesterday, I had more than 40 people on it, and everybody else had snow apart from me, and trying to explain that to my kids as to why we're the only place in the country without snow, I don't know. But talking to managers this week, as I'm sure you have, the pitches are just frozen. They're rock solid, and they haven't had a chance because, maybe the highest temperature anywhere has reached is sort of 1 or 2 degrees. The pitches just haven't had a time to defrost in time for this weekend. But as you say, you don't want to be travelling. I'm looking, down those trophy fixtures. Barnet Plymouth Parkway. I'm sure the lads at Plymouth aren't going to fancy a Tuesday night trip up to the north of London the week before Christmas.
No, that's it. And this is... It's kind of always the thing with this round of track. I feel like this is completely no evidence to back up, really. But I sort of feel like the last couple of years it's not been too bad around this time, and most stuff's kind of gone on. Sort of looking back through the paper last year and kind of the coverage that we gave, I don't think there's too much off at all. So it could be a different story. It's kind of one of those things, though, isn't it? Really, it's not a huge amount we can do about it. You can't. It's not sort of in the lap of the weather gods, unfortunately, and only clubs who've put in lots of preparations and done lots of work, and we saw that at the weekend doing lots of work to try and get games on. But if the referee sort of turns up and is concerned for the safety or doesn't want the game to be played, then that's kind of it sometimes. So it is going to be a difficult weekend. It'll be interesting kind of tomorrow to see how many games get called off in advance, which at least gives people kind of a bit of extra time to get those plans in if they do have to come to the start travelling around for midweek replays. But I imagine many clubs will be just trying to hopefully do everything they can to get as many games on possible. It could be the I think it was down at Bognor Regis a few years ago, wasn't there? Cars parked up on the pitch trying to warm up a section of it, so it could be a parking on the pitch at a few clubs on Saturday morning.
Yeah, it was good to see this week. A lot of the midweek games getting called early. The leagues are sort of helping clubs with that and helping fans as well. Because particularly a midweek game, if you're having to leave work early, having to get on the road in the sometimes treacherous conditions, it's important that if these games aren't going to go ahead, they're called off early. And you mentioned about the preparations. My club at the weekend was one of those that managed to get the half time and then the game was called off. But there were a lot of preparations to get the pitch ready, but also off the field as well. And, if you get to a game this weekend and it's on, do thank the people that have managed to get it on. Making sure that it's safe for people to use the car park, for using the toilets, trying to get everything safe. It's not just the safety of the players on the field; it's also the safety of the spectators in the crowd. And we've seen, over the years, games called off because of ice on the terraces and things like that. So it is there's a whole gamut of things that people have to consider in order to get these games on. And at the end of the day, we just want to watch some football.
Yeah, exactly, and like you say, there's a great point. You might turn up to a game at 10 to 3 on Saturday and walk in and then go home straight after, but it's guaranteed that there's been someone there since probably even before the sun's got up as well. So trying to get things ready and, as you say, gritting walkways and pathways and getting everything right. And when games do get called off late, as much as clubs, as hard as clubs have tried sometimes, you've got to think of all the waste that's often there in bars and food huts and things. And, sometimes I think it's sort of, you kind of see the reaction on Twitter on Saturdays and kind of, you know, there's always, you know, even on Fridays last week when there's games getting called off on Friday and then people moaning that's been called off too early, then the next day you've got people, games being called off too late where clubs have already travelled, and it, you know, I think you're never gonna win really, and it is you know, it's a difficult thing to balance sometimes for clubs. And I think we do need to remember, as you say, all the hard work that goes into getting games on so that we can be entertained, hopefully, this Saturday.
Yeah, and it's probably not very easy trying to plan a paper as well when you're at seeing games, you know, like my game and some others, they get to half time and they still don't quite make the finish.
Well, I think your call came into the office, didn't it, to sort of let's know. And at that point, it's very much we still need the full word count. If it's kicked off,
it's there
for a couple of minutes. We'll take a report. Whatever's happened, yeah, lots of juggling, changing of plans, ripping things up, and we kind of had this sort of strange. We get this strange. As you go through a Saturday and then in the morning the games are getting called off, you get to this sort of strange point where if it stays as it is and it's kind of all right, but as soon as you start losing a couple more, then that's when you then suddenly need to like drop pages or find stuff to put into pages. So it's all good fun, it keeps us on our toes, but yeah, quite like a slightly calmer Saturday this week, although I don't suspect that'll be the case.
It keeps you on your toes, hopefully with two pairs of socks on. I definitely recommend two pairs of socks this weekend if you are managing it, make it out to a game. The chaos sort of, you know, it does rear its head on a weekly basis in the non-league game, and the managerial merry-go-round is normally where we see that. It's in full flow again ahead of the Christmas period. Last Saturday, we learned the latest departure at Macclesfield. Dave McNabb and Tim Lees are moving on, and Neil Dan stepping up to be interim player manager at the moment. I know they've put an advert out inviting applicants for the permanent manager's job as well today. Plenty of big names that are free agents that might be potentials for that job, and we'll find out about some of those, I guess, in a moment. But it is a big job to take on, and there's big expectations on their shoulders, whoever takes it.
Yeah, the club have, you know, we've all seen the ambition and what they're trying to do, and the players and the recruitment that they've, you know, clearly the sort of the resource that they're putting into it with some of the players that are down there, and you know, obviously they've been getting great crowds, and that sort of helps with all that, and but that also increases the expectation, doesn't it, of where the club want to be. And I think we were surprised when Danny Whittaker went only a few weeks ago, but Dave McNabb and what he'd achieved at Warrington Rylands and the promotions and the fact that he'd even won that promotion from that division and won the FA Vars as well, you know, he seemed the absolute ideal man for the job, and he's decided to kind of walk away. I think there was sort of in the statement about kind of sort of commitments, you know, outside of football, and sort of juggling that, and that, as you say, shows the demands of the club, that it's not easy. But I think it again will be the same case as it was when Danny Whittaker left, that there'll be lots of people who will want that job. And I think we sort of spoke to Dave McNabb after he'd taken the job. I think he sort of acknowledged that you know, lots of people would have been interested, and to kind of get the nod in front of them was a privilege for him. So there'll be plenty of people queuing up again to take it on, because you know, obviously they're top of their division and heading in an upward direction. It would seem on the pitch, certainly. So you know, it'll be an appetising one for many managers out there.
Yeah, and talking of big names, we also saw one already return to the dugout this week, this time Morden and Tiptree. On Monday, we learnt of the departure of Adam Flint after, well, I think, just 2 months in the manager's job. And the next day, we see Peter Taylor appointed to the role. A big appointment for a club like Morden.
Yeah, see, a great name, and knows what he's kind of achieved in football. And I think one of the things that sort of shines through for me is how much he clearly... clearly loves football and wants to be involved. And you know, the fact he's I was at a AFC Sudbury game earlier in the season, and I saw he was in the crowd there. I think he was maybe doing some scouting or having a look around, and I'm sure he was working for somebody. And but you know, the fact he was out on a cold Tuesday night in Suffolk was shows, you know, sort of his love for the game and you know, obviously that's again now proven with the fact he's gone in at Maldon, and a club that really had come close to promotion. You know, COVID, if COVID hadn't come along, then arguably they'd have been in, they would have won promotion that season. They were flying, and I think they were going well again the following year when the season got stopped straight away. But, you know, it's a club that he would look to go in and kind of really sort of get his teeth in there, into the, and kind of try and get them back to where they, push them back where they were sort of a couple of years ago. So they had a good FA Cup run as well, didn't they? They beat Leighton Orient and then played Newport County in the second round. So, you know, there's lots of positives about the club, and he'll be looking to try and go in there and get them going again.
Yeah, it was interesting to see there was some negative reaction, I think, from fans of the clubs that you have managed that to his appointment. As you've said, all your dealings with him and speaking to any player that's ever played under him, there's always a special, an element of magic in their voice that they've been able to work with Peter Taylor.
Yeah, so it's lots of players over the years who've been managed by him, and, you know, kind of it's one of those strange ones where I kind of feel like every time he gets mentioned, he gets, you know, they're sort of shoehorning about Beckham and he made him England captain and all that, and that's kind of sort of followed him around a little bit. But, you know, he's clearly has that passion and has an impact on players, and yeah, it didn't go as well as you would have hoped, obviously at Welling and at Dagenham before, you know, they were, you know, it wasn't disastrous by any stretch, but even speaking to people on his coaching staff, and speaking to Jody Brown a couple of times about him, and just said, you know, what an amazing sort of time it was for him working alongside him, having that ear and listening to his opinions and the people that he knows within the game and that kind of standing that he has. So, you know, yeah, maybe there's some criticism, but I'm sure Maldon are very happy with their appointment.
Yeah. A couple of big departures as well this week. Steve Burr hasn't had the desired effect at Hensford Town, and at Matlock Town, they're looking for their third manager, I think, of the season, with Craig Elliott departing for the job at Buxton, vacated by Jamie Vermiglio due to his external work pressure. So another one where I think the world's just extra busy at the moment, and people have to realise the commitment being a non-league manager, particularly in a division like they are competing in. You almost need to give your whole life to the football club.
Yeah, I think sometimes people expect you to give your whole life as well, don't they? Fans do, and, you know, it's kind of, I think there's a, you know, there needs to be a realism sometimes of, you know, of what goes into it and how much goes into it. And, you know, Jamie Vermiglio, you know, done an amazing job at Chorley, and I'm sure it would have gone well eventually at Buxton, but he's you know, he's a head teacher by day as well, and, you know, imagine the sort of the pressures that brings, and the importance of you know, that role and what you have to be doing there on a daily basis. And obviously then, you know, if part of a mind on where he had to be that evening, I imagine, you know, and get into training or get into games and the pressures and demands of a football club that wants to win matches and has a big ambition to go on. And obviously that's what kind of Craig Elliott's seen. He's gone in at Matlock after quite a period of time out, and I sort of spoke to him the other day, and he said there's kind of was always a sort of an understanding and agreement that if something came along higher, he was on non-contract, that he could kind of look at that. I think he felt he went into Boston actually in a similar, well, Boston were a second bottom when he went in there, but obviously Buxton are not on the table where they want to be. I know they've got games to catch up with because of their FA Cup run, but you know, he kind of felt he did a good job at Boston. He turned them from second bottom. He got them into the playoffs and even into the promotion final, where they lost narrowly to Altrincham, and had a good FA Cup run in there as well. And they got to the second round, if I remember correctly. And I think he felt he kind of would have deserved a crack again at that level. And he would have been quite patient. He was out quite a while after leaving Boston before going in at Matlock, I think sort of September time. And, you know, sometimes when these opportunities come along, you can't turn them down to step up, because there's lots of, as you said earlier, there's lots of big names out there, lots of big name non-league managers out there who are looking for jobs, fighting for jobs, and if you let opportunities pass by, then they certainly won't be coming around again, because there are so many people out of work and trying to get back in. So it's an opportunity he's kind of taken on to. that project to get them climbing up the table. Obviously, they need to get away from the relegation zone in the first instance. But long term, there's that ambition to be fighting out much higher, further up the table, and kind of pushing for promotions.
Yeah, and other vacancies we talk about on a weekly basis. I see this week at Wellington City, one of those has been filled very quickly within the week, I think. It just over a week, maybe. Mark Weatherston have been given a crack as the Wellington City manager. And it's always good that... Yeah, we live in a different era from when you and I first started reporting about non-league football. It's good to see ex-players still coming through and having a crack at management at non-league level.
Yeah, and I've spoken to Mark quite a few times over the years. He was obviously a Wingate Finchley legend for what he did there, and he went on to Dulwich, and even went on that SAS Who Dares Wins program on TV and had a crack at that as well. So he throws himself into things, and obviously had a spell as a Wingate manager as well fairly recently. So he's on that pathway now, and I sort of spoke to him when he was at Wingate as manager. He said how much he enjoyed that sort of side of it and moving into it, and I think that's the thing for a lot of lads when they come to the end of their playing days. Some have that real burning desire to kind of go into management. I'm not always sure why, because as I think we said before, they're all mad to do it because of those pressures and those commitments. It's completely unique and sort of bizarre thing to do, really, as a part-time job. I think you sort of go out on a Saturday and try and win the games of football, and loads of people come in and watch you and have an opinion about what you're doing, and often aren't afraid to tell you what it is. So it is a very unique thing, but great highs and great lows, and you can go off and do some amazing things in non-league level, even very low levels of winning cups and things like that. So it's definitely a bug for quite a few of them, and I think there's that always going to be that production line of ex-players getting into the dugout.
Yeah, and I wanted to also mention one great example of the managerial merry-go-round that we mentioned week in, week out on here. Down in Sussex, the other week we reported on Martin Dynan departing Haywards Heath Town. This week, the entire management team at Lancing, managers Dale Hurley, Alex Walsh and coach Matt Evans, they've upped and relocated to Haywards Heath Town. There can be a problem in non-league, can't it, when the whole management team move, and then maybe they try and bring in some of the players that they've worked with over the years and that sort of thing. It can be disruptive to the long-term plans at football clubs. We spoke to Jerry Gill down at Bath City earlier on. He spent 5 years at the club, and sometimes you can see the clubs that have had managers and players in for a long while compared to the teams that maybe have a greater turnover of management and other staff.
Yeah, definitely. I think there's a lot to be said for that sort of stability, and it seems more than ever this year there's been so many changes, and I think it works both ways. I think managers would also say, that often the first to be sort of, come under pressure when things aren't going right. I mean, I sort of need to sit down and look at all the actual sort of stats of it, but it sort of feels like often managers who are getting teams promoted are then suddenly binned off partway through the next season. I just sort of think, what kind of more do you sort of want them to do and things like that. Managers, you've got teams into the Football League, and I remember when Mickey Mellon went, obviously got Fleetwood up, and he wasn't actually, I think it was partway through that first season where he was moved on from there. Memories are often seem quite short in football, don't they? So
I think it was actually Mickey Mellon that referred to me. He said that it was probably safer being a fox in the modern era than it was a non-league football manager.
That's one way of looking at it.
You're less likely to be cold. That's Mickey Mellon. He loves an analogy more than me. But it's not the... I'd imagine, when we see clubs and they're asking for potential managers to drop their CVs, I always often wonder sort of how large these email boxes are that are receiving these CVs, because most managers tend to have a number of clubs on their CV.
Yeah, Yeah, the sort of viewers, it's often, I think you can see the ones who, the managers who move around and move around quickly. And, you know, I think some, they can, their CVs actually have things on that they've won. And, you know, that's obviously why they're in demand. So, you know, it's a, as I say, a very unique role, non-league manager, particularly. And, you know, there's no hiding place, and you have to get things right. But it does feel like everything's kind of even more short term these days. And if you don't win a, it even seems if you don't win a half of football, then suddenly people are moaning and groaning. So it's you know, even if you can even win, and then you've not won the right way for some people. So it's yeah, you only have to look at the current England manager and kind of the talk about that, and you know how he has achieved, but you know, for some that's not enough. It's not been done in the right way, or it's not been. You know, just we're in a short-term culture, unfortunately.
We are in a short-term culture. Talking about no hiding place. So obviously, yeah, there's some great reporting in the non-league paper week in, week out. We're in the throes of Christmas. And if there is a non-league fan in your life, or you want to entice somebody into the fold, forget about those overcrowded shopping malls. I've seen that the non-league paper is actually the perfect starting place for your Christmas shopping. Not just a subscription for the paper or a digital form of the paper, but also there's the non-league paper structure poster. It looks great on any wall, and I've seen it in many walls. It's sort of one of those things you look to see how big a non-league fan they are when you go into their office. And also the old favourite, the non-league club directory. I believe all available via the non-league paper website, social channels and all that sort of thing. Just for what, you know, what could any other non-league fan want?
Well, I'll tell you what else they could want, Tim. They could want a non-league paper calendar, which is also out now.
They could indeed.
Delivery in last week, so that's also, get that on your Christmas list as well. That's how I've done all my Christmas shopping. Everyone's getting a non-league calendar and a pyramid poster, and you know, everyone should be happy with it. I don't know why my mum wants one, but you know, she might want to put one on the kitchen wall. I don't know.
As long as there's not a picture of your good self
discount.
There,
I don't even get discount. I don't even get discount. But yeah, It's all there. Non-league paper subscriptions, not just for Christmas, though, Tim.
It is. With a bit of luck, we'll have some extra games over Christmas and some left over for the new year.
Possibly worth saying, just interrupt you rudely, we are still coming out over Christmas as well. It's kind of a slightly weird way everything falls this year, with Christmas Day on a Sunday and Boxing Day on the Monday, and there's sort of not loads of games in between. I don't think there are any games. There's actually a few on the Thursday, the 29th now, isn't there? So some have been put in. But we're coming out before Christmas, and then we will come out on the 23rd. So we're out over the whole weekend ahead of the Boxing Day games, and then we're also out on New Year's Eve ahead of the New Year's Day games, rather than sort of delaying coming out. We're coming out a little bit earlier, so get that in your diaries as well.
Yeah, all very exciting. Anything else we can expect to read in this weekend's paper?
Well, we've spoken to Peter Taylor, spoken to Craig Elliott. North Shields have got a situation with their ground and their ground grade, and they're sort of put out a bit of an appeal to make sure they get up to standards. So there's a story from our man in the northeast, Mark Crothers, about that. I believe we've also, I've sort of been off today, so I'm not 100% sure everything's dropping in, but we've also hopefully got a piece coming from Abby Hay with the brothers of who play at Abby Hay. Their brother is Julian Alvarez, who's ripping it up for Argentina and playing a World Cup final on Sunday, and his brothers are out there now in Qatar watching him, and then they'll be back for Abby Hay on Boxing Day, I think they're hoping. So there's a story about that as well, and then lots of other things going on, and no doubt many features that are to be written when all the games go tumbling. On Saturday morning.
I love that. I the number of managers that listen to this, I wonder if anybody's ever had that excuse. Why can't you be at the game? Gaffer, my brother's playing in the World Cup final.
The World Cup final. We did have it with Lawrence Maguire when he was and Joe Maguire, who also plays non-league, and Harry Maguire's brothers. There was one, yeah, when England were out in, it got to the semi-finals in 2018, and I think Chesterfield kindly let Lawrence stay out a little bit longer so he could watch his brother. There's a few non-league lads have got brother had brothers out in the World Cup. They didn't play. Conor Gallagher with Jake, Jake Gallagher and Josh Gallagher. Obviously at Rangers Park Vale now, and Josh's manager down there. Jake has played for England C and Welling and Aldershot and clubs like that. So yeah, so there's always a non-league link there. But yeah, I'm not sure we've had a one in the World Cup final yet. So quite an achievement, and I'm sure it'll be a very proud day for the whole Alvarez family.
I'm sure, and it's always a proud day when I can chuck a non-league link into any conversation I'm having wherever I am. It's a sort of again, get in touch if you've got an unusual place where you've discussed non-league with me, maybe some unusual people. That would be great to hear, and I always love to know your non-league stories. That's what the non-league paper is all about. Look forward to reading all about them this Sunday. Matt Badcock, thanks for joining us on the Non-League Football Show. We'll talk to you again very soon.
Thanks, Tim.
And that then is it for this week. Thanks as ever to all of my guests. Good luck to all of those involved in the FA Trophy weekend, and also all of those working hard to get the games on at any level. Do show your appreciation. If you get to a game, the game's on. There would have been a lot of hard work done just to get to that stage. Do appreciate everybody working hard in the cold for volunteer hours across the world of non-league. A big thank you to everybody for listening to, and remember, you can tell your friends and share the posts and the pods across social media. Every little helps, and you can of course find us throughout the season and join in throughout the week on social media at Non-League Show. Myself there at Tim Fuel, F-U-E-L-L, and you can find us every week on Audio Boom, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, Deezer, TuneIn Radio, also Castbox, iHeart, Geo7, Listen Notes, Overcast, Podcast Addict, Podchaser, Radio Republic via your smart speakers, and of course all good podcast aggregation sites. Stay safe, thank you, enjoy your football, and goodbye.
Jabber Production. JIBBA JABBA.